Now, I've spoken before about the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, about those gifts that are given to us by the Holy Spirit, working in and through us, so that we will continue to grow in holiness. We'll draw closer to our Lord. And those fruits that are the signs that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. Well, it's good for us to remember and to focus and to desire these fruits and these gifts and to be open to them. But it's more important for us to realize that the Holy Spirit works in the fullest way through the church as a whole. We are part of the church. We are members of the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit works through the whole body of Christ, the church. This is why we call Pentecost the birthday of the church, when the Holy Spirit came down upon the apostles in that upper room, the church was born. Because at that moment, all the believers of Christ became united into the body of Christ, the church. And the disciples at that moment were given the authority to teach and preach in our Lord's name in a way they hadn't before. This is why, as soon as the Holy Spirit came upon them, they rushed out of that room, out into the street, and began to proclaim the gospel. Because this is the most important thing the church does, is proclaim the gospel to the nations through the power of the Holy Spirit. As our Lord says in the gospel today, "When the advocate comes, who I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth that proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me. And you also testify, because you have been with me from the beginning." The church goes out and proclaims the gospel in all tongues, in all languages. Now, you might sometimes hear people talking about speaking in tongues, where they're talking about speaking in kind of nonsense syllables or in growls or something like that. It was very popular a few years ago in the charismatic movement to have this speaking in tongues. Some people still claim to do it. In my opinion, that's not what the gospel is talking about when it's talking about speaking in tongues. What it's talking about is speaking in different languages. The apostles were able to speak in languages they did not know and were understood clearly by the people who are native speakers of those languages. This is what I'm talking about. And the church is able to do this. Yesterday in the Office of Readings, which is the first book or the first hour of the Liturgy of the Hours, the first prayer, the second reading was from a homily written back in the 6th century by an unknown African author. He wrote, "I do indeed speak in the tongues of all men, because I belong to the body of Christ, that is, the church, and she speaks all languages. What else did the presence of the Holy Spirit indicate at Pentecost, except that God's church was to speak in the language of every people?" It's one thing we need to realize is that the gospel is proclaimed in all parts of the world, throughout the world, in every language. There are those who speak the gospel, who speak that native language, who are proclaiming the gospel. From missionaries in lands that have yet to hear the gospel, to those that are evangelizing people in regions, in lands that have been Christianized, that have heard the gospel, but that they are evangelizing those who do not know Christ, who do not yet follow Christ. So it is through the power of the Holy Spirit, the unity of the Holy Spirit, the body of Christ can speak all languages. The church can speak all languages. Now, while proclaiming the gospel is the most important thing that the church does, no less important is the power of the church to teach in the name and in the authority as Christ did. Because the church is guided by the Holy Spirit to proclaim Christ's revealed truth in matters of faith and morals. As our Lord says, "The Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will take from what is mine and declare it to you." This is what we mean when we talk about infallibility of the Pope and the bishops, that they have infallibility. It means that in matters of faith and morals, when they teach in these matters, they are protected by the Holy Spirit from all error. They cannot teach error in faith and morals. This doesn't mean, however, that the Pope and the bishops can't make errors in judgment. They can't sin. They can. We see this in the scandals that have occurred time and time and time again in the church. This doesn't mean that they can't have erroneous opinions in other matters, such as sports. You know, if the Pope got up on his Wednesday general audience and says, "I predict that the St. Louis Cardinals will win the World Series," well, I might like that as a St. Louis Cardinals fan, but he is no more infallible in that matter than the hundreds of other TV prognosticators who give any opinion as to who's going to win the World Series, and it usually there's a different opinion based on different TV personality. The Pope is not infallible in that matter. He could be wrong in that. But he is infallible in matters of faith and morals. This is why we are called to have submission to the teachings of the Pope and the bishops, the magisterium, because of the guidance of the Holy Spirit in these matters. Now, not out of blind obedience. We're not called to do this just because we're Catholic and we're going to blindly follow. But out of love for Christ, and out of a desire to find the truth that he revealed. We also, out of love for Christ, realize that each of us have a part to play in the body of Christ. We each have a part to play in the church. As St. Paul says in the second reading, "As a body is one, though it has many parts, and all parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ." The Holy Spirit works in and through each of us. We have a role in the church. The Holy Spirit helps us to find that role and then gives us the gifts we need to fulfill that role. As St. Paul says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. Now, I think most of us, if not all of us, realize that we each have different skills and abilities. And we naturally, more or less, use these skills and abilities in our jobs and in our families, in our daily life. And that's a good thing. We should. These gifts are given to us for that purpose. But they are also given to us that we can use them to build up the body of Christ, build up the church, by bringing people to Christ through evangelization, and also by strengthening and supporting those who already believe. Now, this doesn't mean we have to do something that's public, like being a lector or extraordinary minister or any other, you know, function in the church that is public. This could be something as simple as helping out, keeping the buildings maintained, keeping the grounds cleaned, helping out with bulletins, things like that. Simple things that can be done behind the scenes without being publicly noticed. But all of these are using our skills to build up the body of Christ. So our challenge for us today on this Pentecost and every day of our lives is to continually ask the Holy Spirit for guidance. Ask the Holy Spirit to continue guiding the church in preaching the gospel and teaching as our Lord did. To continue guiding us as individuals in knowing the gifts which he gave to us, and to continue helping us find our roles in the body of Christ.